Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Mina, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Quest Holding conference call to present and discuss the first half 2022 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Quest Holding management. Gentlemen, you may now proceed.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alexandros Roustas, and I'm the Investor Relations Officer of Quest Holding, and I'm sitting here with our CEO, Mr. Apostolos Georgantzis, and our CFO, Mr. Marcos Bitsakos. We are here to present you the financial results of the six-month period of 2022 and answer your questions. Financial results and our IR presentation are already in the IR section of our corporate website, from where you can download it. Now I will give the microphone to Mr. Marcos Bitsakos for his opening remarks.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Marcos Bitsakos, the CFO of Quest Group. My first statement for the first half of the year is that Quest Group achieved the revenue and profitability targets set in our annual budget. This was not an easy task, since 2022 is undeniably a year full of political and economic uncertainties. The Ukraine war, the booming energy cost, rising inflation and interest rates are the new normality since the beginning of the year. However, even in this problematic economic environment, Quest Group is well-positioned through its diversified portfolio and demonstrates remarkable resilience. As I did during the first quarter IR call, I must remind you that 2022 compared with last year will fall short in profitability because of the one-off capital gains from last year's Carling and TEKA divestment and the discontinued operation of Carling in the fourth quarter of 2021. In the first half of last year, the discontinued activity of Carling generated sales close to 21 million, EBITDA in the range of 7.7 million, and earnings before tax 4.4 million euros. In addition, last year we had the capital gains, which are non-organic result, from the sale of TEKA participation in the range of 1.9 million euros. On the other hand, this year, I-Squared presented one-off capital gains from the sale of its participation in AkzoNobel amounting 1.3 million, which partially smooth out this gap versus last year. Hence, to assess 2022 company's performance, it is more appropriate to follow the continued operation trend. Speaking about diversification, let me give you the picture of how the four business segments we are currently active in performed in this highly turmoil era. There is a higher resilience or even zero effect from the economic slowdown in three business segments. First, the renewable energy sector, which is solely weather condition driven, both in revenue and profits. Second, the courier business, which is largely dependent on the e-commerce, which following the first five-month volume drop, is back on a growth track. We are quite confident for this business sector in the foreseeable future. ACS has just completed a large infrastructure investment, which will support the anticipated e-commerce future volume increase. Third, the IT services is positively progressing due to the continuous European Commission IT projects and the Greek public digitalization process. This positive trend is expected to continue over the next years, fueled, among other, by the significant project backlog amounting to 460 million euros. Moving to our fourth business segment, which is the commercial activity sector, there is a mixed performance among the companies included in this sector. Starting from the Apple ecosystem served by two companies, I-Squared and iStone, there is a significant growth in sales in the six-month period against the overall stagnation of technology sales. In the IQT volume business, there is a sales decline versus last year in line with the overall technology market. However, this is counterbalanced from the sale increase of the Klima products. Lastly, e-commerce, served mainly by Quest Online, is the only division in this segment that shows a sales reduction year over year in the range of 17% for the reported period. This is related to a variety of elements, such as the last year lockdown of physical stores that boosted 2021 sales, while this year e-tail is back to normal. And secondly, the intense competition from all e-tailers, which leads to multiple promotion, higher marketing costs, and thinner margins. To summarize, in the first six months of 2022, total consolidated revenues reached 478 million, increased by 7% versus last year. Consolidated EBITDA, amounting 34.5 million, is reduced by 12% versus last year, and consolidated earnings before tax, amounting 27.4 million, is reduced by 9.9% versus last year. And lastly, earnings after tax and non-controlling interest reached 20.7 million euros, 13.5% less than last year. Now, if we focus on the continued operations, meaning on a like-to-like basis, Quest Group shows an improved pattern on most of the main profit and loss lines as opposed to last year. Namely, consolidated sales are higher by 12.2%, EBITDA is improved by 9.5%, earnings before tax is increased by 4.7%, and earnings after tax at the same level as last year. Group's net debt turned to 16 million net cash compared to 22.8 million net debt in 2021, at the back of the cash inflow from Carling divestment and after the dividend distribution of 61 million euros to our shareholders. Further to the strict numbers, there are several important actions that we should bring to your attention. These actions strengthen the future of Quest Group and the ability to produce increased revenue and bring value to our customers and our stakeholders. So allow me to mention the following. First, InfoQuest Technology has relocated its warehouse to a new, large and modern depot in terms of automation in the area of Aspropyrgos. The facilities are leased, but it was designed and custom made by IQT in a building with a total area of 20,000 square meters with a storage capacity of 23,500 pallets. Second, the new large and advanced in terms of automation technology parcel sorting center of ACS is now completed and in full use. Lastly, Quest Group decided during the second quarter of the year to support with a one-off allowance all employees with gross monthly salary up to 2,000 euros. This was done through profit distribution in June to 1,300 employees, which represent more than 50% of our total personnel. And in addition to that, an amount was given for each child who is dependent member of the employee's family. The total amount for the entire group, which had an impact on the group's EBITDA and pre-tax profit, is just above 1.4 million euros. So I will pass now over to Alexandros, who will give us the sector overview. Thank you.
Now, if we have a closer look into our segments, we observe that the commercial activity segment, I remind you that this segment consists of the following companies: InfoQuest, iSquare, iStorm, Quest Online, and several newcomers, namely ClimaQuest, Focus, Team Candy, and IQT Cyprus. So the segment grew by 15.8% at the sales level, while EBIT decreased by 4% year over year. The sales growth comes mainly from Apple product sales, while on the opposite side, e-commerce sales are lower compared to the first half of last year, where there were no physical retail alternatives due to the lockdowns. The reason of the decrease of the profit margin is mainly attributed to the one-off personnel allowance of 2022, the lack of 2021 government once-off support for the lockdown, and the weaker e-commerce profitability of 2022. IT services sector, I remind you that it consists of Unisystems, Intelli Solutions, also improved by roughly 10% in sales and by 38% in EBT. Demand for IT services continues to grow due to the high number of digital transformation projects in the EU, while there is an upcoming opportunity of the digitization of the public sector, and this process is still under development. Furthermore, Intelli's acquisition improved EBT by roughly 1.2 million in the first half. Postal services, which is ACS, both sales and EBT remained nearly flat compared to the first half of 2021. The results were mainly driven by the drop in e-commerce during the first 5 months, since last year's parcel deliveries were boosted by lockdowns. There is also an impact by higher transportation costs related to the increase in the cost of fuels. Last but not least, Quest Energy segment sales were higher by almost 8% and EBT by 9.3% due to the addition of 2 megawatts of power in solar parks. Now let me pass over to Apostolos to provide the outlook.
Good afternoon from me too. I'm Apostolos Giorgantzis, Quest Group CEO. As Marcos and Alexandros explained, most of our continued operation grew in sales during the first half of 2022, with some of them even presenting double-digit growth. Profitability also improved during the first half, mainly due to the first quarter presenting strong growth, while the second quarter, excluding the one-off personnel allowance of 1.4 million, being nearly at last year's levels. Therefore, the diversification of our businesses helped us once again to move in a positive ground in this challenging first half of the year. In more detail, the outlook per sector regarding continuous operation is the following. For the first sector, which is the commercial activity sector, we estimate a mild growth for 2022 sales with similar or slightly lower profitability versus last year. Regarding the IT service sector, this sector is continuing to be possibly affected by higher demand in IT services, while it has a high backlog of signed projects, which are about 460 million, substantial sales and profitability growth is estimated for this sector for 2022, driven by accelerated investments on digital transformation by the private as well as from the public sector. Profitability will also be boosted by Intelli Solution contribution that was acquired at the end of 2021 by at least 1.4 million. Now going to the postal services sector, for the whole 2022, we estimate sales to be with a mild growth coming mainly from the second half, driven by e-commerce growth. Profitability is estimated to be close to 2021 levels or slightly lower due to increased transportation costs that are affected due to the increase in fuel prices. Our new automated state-of-the-art sorting hub was fully operational by the end of the first half, which is expected to allow us to increase significantly our capacity and gradually to improve operational efficiency. Finally, the renewable energy production sector, in this sector, our current estimation for the whole year is for a mild growth in both sales and profitability, driven mainly by 2021 and 2022 investments. Now, on a consolidated basis regarding continued operations, our current estimation for the whole year is for a mild growth in sales and a slight compression in profit margins, mainly due to increased costs, leading to close or to similar profitability versus last year. The current outlook is based on the assumptions that there will be no further deterioration of the economy, no further inflation in energy prices, and goods and the impact in consumption trends. Having said that, we have to mention that Quest Group has a solid commercial and financial positioning to successfully address any further challenges that might arise. Quest Group's current cash position is solid, being above 200 million in cash and available credit lines, allowing us to continue our planned growth investments and to endure hardships. Our investment plans for the whole year include about 60 million capex related mostly to growth investments, and which we continue to execute according to our plans with no drawbacks. These investments regard to infrastructure for courier services, the expansion of product sector to the Klima Erko market through acquisition of YED, which is the official distributor of Toyotomi, and the increase of the energy portfolio. Especially regarding YED, we should mention that at the end of August, Quest participated in the capital increase of the company and became the main shareholder with a stake of more than 99%. It should be reminded that the participation in YED is the main step for the group's entry in the promising climate sector, which is estimated to grow in the coming years due to the climate change. At the same time, we also carefully pursue possible other M&As in order to further propel our growth. Now, let me pass back to Alexandros.
Okay, that was a brief overview for the first half, as well as the outlook for the full year of 2022. We are now happy to take your questions.
The first question is from the line of Zviriadi Natalia with Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. Very good set of results, given the circumstances. I was wondering if you could give us a little color on the Dimitriou acquisition. Actually, now that it's completed, how should we expect the investments, going forward in this sector? Has the bigger part fallen through, or just the 5 million? Because I remember we were talking about 25 million plus working capital, so I would want a little bit of color on how we should expect this to turn out looking in front of us. And I was also wondering if you could tell us about the vouchers that the government was supposed to give out, and we were expecting some sales coming from these. How has this turned out throughout this period? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hi, Natalia. This is Markos Mitsakos. Regarding your first part of your question about Dimitriou, you are right by saying that we have already invested the 5 million euros through the capital increase of Dimitriou, and over the next month or over the next few months, let's say, we will invest an additional amount in the range of 25 to 30 million for the working capital needs of Dimitriou business. Now, for the second part, Mr. Georgadis will give you the answer.
Yes, regarding the let's say the progress of the business of Erko, I would say that for the first half, from our figures, we have seen a strong growth in the air clima sector. Mm-hmm. And the way we support YED, because if you remember, we don't operate directly the Toyotomi business. We support still YED until it gets fully financed and be able to operate on its own. And this is expected to happen by the end of the year. What we've seen, therefore, during the first half has been a stronger growth in sales, driven mainly by demand in Erko and Klima products. This hasn't continued so strong during the third quarter so far, because people delayed their decisions, consumer probably, due to the coupons that were announced during July. And we expect this to happen during the coming period, till the end of the year. I hope I've given you some feedback regarding what you mentioned.
Yes, I understood this. Could you also remind us on the ClimaQuest-like sales, what is the target there, and what we're expecting to reach from this business?
When we announced this future participation, because it has been a process that nearly takes us back 2.5, nearly 3 years.
Yes.
It was a restructuring NPL case for this company. We said that our future goal for this business would be a sales target of at least $30 million and a margin which could be on the high single-digit levels, possibly even close to 10%, because it has a much higher growth margin. This year, during the first half of the year, the sales were already nearly 20 million or a bit above regarding the YEV Dimitriou, so the Toyotomi business altogether, because it also includes much fewer sales regarding other appliances such as Singer. While we also have an operation through Quest Clima, which is a new company and has sales of the order of 5 million. So altogether, we expect that this year would be above 35 to 40 million. But this depends a lot on the situation and how the situation will evolve during the last 4 months and the consumption trends.
Okay. Yes, that's very clear. Thank you very much on that. Could I have a follow-up on the investments that we said, that the 25 that we probably were looking for until year end, and will this, how much, you know, this takes us for the investments for the year? We are at 13 million. We were in H1, and we were talking about CapEx of 60 million for 2022. So could you give us a breakdown there based on the new data? Thank you very much.
So this is Marcos Bitsakos again speaking. Natalia.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, over the first 6 months of this year, we have already invested close to 14 million euros, mainly in half of this was in ACS. Now, only for YEV Dimitriou, the working capital plus the capital increase is around 35 million euros. So that gives us a little bit less, let's say, of 50 million euros only for YEV Dimitriou, plus what we have done already in the first half. In addition to that, we believe that we will reach 60 million, or we will exceed 60 million, because we have additional investments, hopefully in the energy sector that we are very active, let's say, in looking new acquisition, plus the investment that InfoQuest Technology has to do with the new warehouse in Aspropyrgos.
Okay, so InfoQuest is not in the 14 million already. So, okay. And you're very active in the energy sector. You're correct.
Yeah, InfoQuest is already in the 14 million.
Ah.
Half of it is ACS and a little bit less, let's say, it's InfoQuest.
Okay. That's clear.
They will continue to invest, let's say, in the second half of the year also.
Okay, thank you. Very, very clear. Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Kalayoropoulos Yannis with Beta Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, and congratulations for your set of results. I have a question regarding the margins of the courier and the IT services businesses. If you could give us some color and elaborate on the sustainability of the margins. I mean, we have ACS margin at a record high of 16%. Despite the increases in the energy and the transportation costs. And then we have the Unisystems margin again in an all-time high of in excess of 10%. I guess that has also to do with the contribution of Intelli, but whether you could give us some color on the margins going forward, I mean, not for 2022, but for the years to come. Thanks a lot.
Okay, this is Apostolos. Yanni, thank you for the questions. Regarding, you nearly ask all the sectors how the margins are evolving. Regarding the first part that you mentioned, which is the postal services, ACS, the reason for having a bit increased profit, EBITDA margins, I would say, of 60%, is due to the reason that in the beginning of the year, we have managed to do price increases, which were caused due to the inflation that we have experienced in the past. And this helped us, together with the operation of the new hub, which also helped us increase weighting, accurate weighting, and let's say pricing of the better pricing of the volumes, to be able to increase per piece the profit margins. This, of course, was reduced due to energy costs and increase of transportation costs. Otherwise, if we didn't have the increased cost of transportation, it would have been even higher. Therefore, this is the main reason. The difference is not so big versus last year. It's quite close. So I would say that nearly we're at the same levels like last year in all three lines, talking about sales, EBITDA, and EBT.
Yes, but compared to last year, you didn't have the tax reversal of 1.5 million, which was included on the EBITDA in 2021. So that's even higher, the boost from the profit margin, from the EBITDA margin. Because last year, the EBITDA margin was enhanced by the 1.2 million provision reversal, which you obviously didn't have this year.
Yeah,
you're talking about which renders the step of the gap even higher. I mean, and would you consider that sustainable? That's the main question going forward. The level of 16% for the ACS business, for the courier business.
Yeah, to be honest, we also had some extraordinary positive figures this first half as well, like last year, affecting positively EBITDA and the profitability. On the long run, we consider that this margin could be at these levels and even higher once the new hub will be fully operational, and with the growth of the volumes caused by the growth of e-commerce mainly, we expect to improve the efficiency of operations and achieving even higher levels. Therefore, I would say that we estimate that these are, let's say, recurring margins, and possibly in the future, depending also on the fuel prices, could be also be improved.
Okay.
That's regarding the courier business. Now, regarding the second, the IT services business, the main reason for improving of the margins is not so much its own growth, which is significant, but also the addition of Intelli, which wasn't there last year, which contributed more than 1 million in profitability versus the last half. Taking that out, still the company grows and improves slightly its margin, but not so significantly like it's been shown in the first half of the year. Now, regarding the margins of the first sectors, which are compressed, I will pass to Alexandros to elaborate more on that.
Regarding the commercial sectors, I think that last year was a very good year. This year is actually a bad year due to the less demand there is for tech equipment mainly. So I'd say a sustainable margin should be somewhere in between. Like we said before, Last year we had high profit margins. There was a high demand for tech equipment. Also, the state subsidies, especially for example for physical stores, helped a lot. This year, like we said before, there's a lot of demand for tech equipment. Profit margins are squeezed. I'd say that the situation of profit margins is somehow worse than it should be in normality. So, yeah, sustainable margin, I'd say that would be somewhere in between.
So in the area of 3 to 3.5%, let's say.
Yeah.
Okay. And the follow-up question on the energy segment, in addition to the 2 megawatts that you mentioned on your press release that you added in the beginning of the year, you have also added 3.5 megawatts during summer in late August, if I recall correctly. And have you set a target of the installed megawatts that you aim to operate by year end? Will it be something higher, or you will remain with these 34.5 total megawatts that you currently own?
Yanni, yes, we have added 3.5 megawatts, not in August. This was done by the end of July. However, as we speak, we have also added in August another photovoltaic park of 0.8 megawatt. So we are having now an installed capacity of more than 34 megawatts. Now, what the target should be for the end of the year, I'm quite confident that it's going to be higher than that. We had initially set a target in the range of 34, 35 megawatts. I believe that we're going to exceed this target.
And that relates to the remaining capex, you mean, that in order to reach the 600, the 60 million? I mean, the rest of the capex will be most probably directed to megawatts acquisitions, right?
Partially, yes. Partially.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Maisin Thibault with Gay Lussac Question. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the presentation. I just had a quick question concerning the feed-in tariffs in Greece. Could you provide me a bit more context maybe on the in the solar panel kind of industry in Greece, feed-in tariffs, utilization rates, because from what I'm seeing, you are paying the megawatt a quite expensive, let's say, amount per megawatt. Maybe that's something I don't understand about the Greek solar panel market, or maybe you can clarify a bit on that front for me. Thanks.
So this is Markus again. There is no solid answer on this question, meaning that how much somebody would have to spend, let's say, to acquire or to build a megawatt. It depends on whether it is a greenfield project, meaning it's going to be connected in the grid today, or you buy a park that is already built and operated through several years. If you see our portfolio of parks, we have an average feed-in tariff of more than 200 euros per megawatt. The last acquisition that we made in July, the 3.5 megawatts, the feed-in tariff was 64 or 65 euros per megawatt. Quite a difference, quite a distance, let's say, from the parks that was built and connected, let's say, to the grid a few years ago. So these high tariffs, they don't exist anymore. I mean, if you build something new, you have to anticipate a tariff in the range of 50 to 60 or 65 megawatts. I don't know if I answered your question or not.
I think the answer is it, yeah. And when you say the 200 euros per megawatt as an average, is including the 3.5 million acquisition?
No, this feed-in tariff, I'm telling you, the 200 euros per megawatt is what we get paid from our production.
Thanks. Makes sense.
What we pay for the acquisition of a park or to build up a new photovoltaic park, it depends on the tariff that they have and the IRR that we anticipate to have. We always aim, let's say, we target to have an IRR exceeding 15%, which is not very easily to be achieved, let's say, today with if you build up a greenfield project in photovoltaic in Greece.
Okay, makes sense. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Apostolos Georgantzis for any closing comments. Thank you.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, we would like to thank you for your participation and interest to our company, and we wish you to have a nice afternoon.